Tonight, our thoughts are entitled, "It is a privilege to be a Christian." It is a privilege to be a Christian. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Christian is a follower of Christ, one that has been born again, baptized by immersion, studies the scriptures, and we could just continue. But privilege is a right or rights given to a person. And we have the privilege to choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Of course, the Apostle Paul was a follower of Christ upon his conversion. In Acts 21, the Jews seized the Apostle Paul in the temple, saying he had polluted this holy place. In Acts 21, let me begin reading at verse, well, I'm not there. Give me just a moment. In Acts 21, beginning at verse 30, we find this thought. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they were about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. In Acts chapter 22, Paul declared that he was a Roman citizen, and asked, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" They were going to scourge him to try to find out what in the world was going on. In Acts 23, Paul is brought before the Sanhedrin, where he creates division by declaring that he had been a Pharisee. Paul had realized when he was brought before the Sanhedrin that they were divided amongst themselves between Sadducees and Pharisees. And so he created extra tension by saying that he was a Pharisee. In Acts 23:12, we find that a band of Jews conspired to kill Paul. And if you're there in Acts 24, we're going to begin reading at verse 24. Acts 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcus Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We find that in chapter 25 that Paul appeals to Caesar. And then in Acts 26, Paul gives his defense before Agrippa. And in Acts 26:28, we find some of the saddest words in the Word of God. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." How sad that is, that he flippantly said, "Almost." You know, it's a privilege to be a Christian. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together tonight, and Lord, we are separated at this time, not because of desire on our part, but because of those making decisions. And Lord, we ask for safety for our people, that you would keep us safe, Lord, and that we would not get the infection. Lord, we pray for those of our number who are working to have a given point in time. You can end this time, this virus. Lord, we also know that the hearts are in your hands of our leaders. And Lord, we just pray that you would have your will done in these matters. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. It is a privilege to be a Christian. Point number one. To the Christian, the Word of God should be special. Oh, you could put in there precious or priceless, but the Word of God, our Bibles, should be precious. To the Christian, to one that is Christ-like, Christian in action, not in name only. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The Word of God, it should be precious to us. It has words that can bring such comfort. And, of course, we find in the Word of God the words that can lead us to Christ and salvation. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. What a precious thought. The word of God, it is precious. It is truth that will endure forever. 2 Timothy, if you would please, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 15. We read some of these words this morning, and we appreciate you coming back and listening to us tonight. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is precious. I don't know how many of you enjoy reading from Days of Praise. It is the one that I use. And last Saturday, May 2nd, it was talking about the 119th Psalm, where there are 176 verses, and the 176 verses all have references to the Holy Scriptures. And Henry Morris writes, the great theme of the Psalm is the wonder and power of the life-giving written Word of God. It is sharp. And sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is something that should be special to us. Number two, to the Christian, we should strive to stand fast in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, if you would, please. Galatians 5. And we hope that you're able to turn there with us. We should strive to stand fast in Christ. Paul, writing to the believers there in Galatia, says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast. Keep from the sin. Keep from the evil. Ephesians chapter 6, well-known words, and we'll read it. Once again, though, as it goes with the idea that we should strive to stand fast, Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We should strive to stand fast. Number three, to the Christian, we should shine for the Lord. We should shine for the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, if you're really observant, you may have noticed that as I was reading there from Ephesians chapter 6, a light came on in our family room, obviously on a timer. And the one thing about light is it catches our attention. And the fact is, we should be living lives that catch the attention of people. Matthew chapter 5, if you would please. Matthew 5, some of my favorite words of the Sermon on the Mount are the ones we're going to read here. But Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The Christian walk is such that we are trying to bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. Number four, to the Christian, we should be usable. We should be usable. I was looking downstairs in one of the cabinets over by the wall that has the sprinkler system in it. And I always have a flashlight there so that if I'm turning on the sprinkler systems, I have a flashlight to shine it in the cabinet. And you know what I found the other day when I looked in the cabinet? The flashlight was there. And I turned it on. And instead of a bright beam, there was just this dinky little, almost nothing light. We're not to be like that light that is being powered by a battery that is almost gone. Our battery is powered by the Lord himself, and we should shine brightly for him. We should be usable. And Philippians 2, verse 13 is what we want to look at right now. Philippians 2 and verse 13. And it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We can only be used if we are right with the Lord. But he desires to do his pleasure through you. Hebrews chapter 13 is where I'll be going next. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll read verses 20 and 21. To be usable. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Are you usable? Do you fight it? Or are you saying, yes, Lord, what is your will today? 2 Timothy chapter 3, we already read this verse, but I think we'll read it again. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good work. works. The Lord's desire is that we are usable. Number five, to the Christian, we should comfort as we are comforted. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. This morning we talked about compassion. Well, now we're talking about comfort, to aid someone during a difficult time. Someone maybe who has lost a loved one. Someone maybe who is going through a difficult time financially now. We find that many people are being brought back home because they have lost jobs or because the school or college where they were at has been shut down for this coronavirus issue. And sometimes people brought back together, it can be a difficult time. And comfort must be given during these difficult times. But first, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So as we are being comforted, we should be striving to help comfort others. The Bible here talks about tribulation and time of trouble. Some would say that we're going through that right now. Some have maybe watched a message or a sermon or heard some thoughts about the fact that this may just be a trial and that who knows what lays ahead. And the one world government some people talk about. Who knows what lays ahead? But as Christians, we are comforted that the Lord is in control. And when we are showing reserve and when we are showing that we are comforted by the Lord, we can be of encouragement to others as they see that we are standing strong in the word of the Lord. So the Christian should comfort as we are comforted. Number six, to the Christian, we should be willing to forgive. Willing to forgive. Ephesians chapter 4. Sometimes it's hard to forgive. Sometimes we don't want to forgive. Sometimes we think, well, why should I have to? Well, the fact of the matter is, you're better off forgiving than holding a grudge. And here we find in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We should be willing to forgive. In Luke chapter 11, verse 4, we have the Lord's Prayer, and it says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So we are forgiven, and we are to forgive. Whatever that may be. And sometimes it is very difficult. Did I mention how many points I had this evening? Well, I have 7 points, though it's a long point. So don't expect it to be short. But if you would, Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 18. To the Christian, our fruits will declare our identity. Our fruits. Our neighbor has just planted a peach tree. And I guarantee you, he didn't plant it just so he could look at it. He wants peaches. He wants fruit. When we lived on Wheaton, we had some cherry trees, and we enjoyed the cherry tree. My wife is saying one cherry tree. And I remember many times climbing up into the cherry tree and reaching to the top of the tree to get the fruit. That's why you have a fruit tree. Some of you plant a garden and you're hoping to get tomatoes or squash or some other vegetable or fruit because that's what you expect. Well, as believers, we are to produce fruit, and our fruits will declare our identity. Here in Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now Jesus says in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. By what we're producing, by the fruits. Now there are many today that claim to be born again believers, but their fruits say otherwise. There are many that will spend their lifetime attending certain churches, but will never produce anything. Let's begin reading again at now verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy names have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess, now Jesus is still speaking, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They thought their fruits were something of value, and the Lord says, no, they're of no value. See, we need to make sure that we are doing what the Lord would have us do. He knows our character. He knows our desire for worship. And then we find that the Sermon on the Mount is going to end with this thought. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. We know the story. And we see that when the storms come, if we are built on the rock, we will not fall. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It's a privilege to be a Christian. And may I say this, I have seen many who have for a while been a Christian. And I say, Pastor Paul, you can't lose your salvation. No, you cannot lose your salvation. You can be born again. But you're not a Christian if you're not following the teachings of the Word of God. And so many down through the years have taken their eyes off the Lord. They've looked at other things. They've been turned aside. But we need to keep ourselves in the Word of God. We need to strive to stand for Christ. We need to shine for the Lord in this dark world. We need to be usable. We need to comfort as we are comforted. We need to be willing to forgive. And our fruits will declare our identity. If you were put on trial for being a Christian, would you be found guilty? I hope so. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for this time together. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And again, with thanksgiving. Amen.